Gary, you have somebody special that you'd like to introduce to us, whom you met when she came to have a birthday party on your boat, we understand.
That's right. Melissa Hay is with us, and Melissa and I first met here on Shared Adventure. She wanted to have a very unique birthday party and invited a number of her friends over. It was actually a party weekend, if I recall, Melissa. Welcome to the Internet Advisor Show.
Thank you very much. It was great meeting you that weekend, and we shared a lot of really great ideas about social media and marketing. It was a fun time.
Well, you got it.
We had a lot of fun, and you did teach me a lot about branding. I thought I knew this stuff fairly well, and you were trying to tell me something about geofencing. And I said,
yeah.
Well, we've got railing around the boat. We need more than that.
Well, I think where we got to start it was the fact that I had my birthday party, and I had my Snapchat filter because, you know, I had a weekend birthday party, and, of course, I had to have my customized Snapchat filter that I, you know, that my company made for us. And I was explaining how I had the geofencing for the, you know, a certain targeted area around the boat area and the dock and the marina. So I think that's how we got started with the idea of branding and marketing and the geofencing.
What is geofencing, Melissa? Could you explain that for us?
Sure. With geofencing, you're talking about using the coordinates, the actual longitude and latitude, the actual mapping coordinates that allow for the internet airwaves. So for Snapchat in particular, which is working with, uploading photos for
yes.
a limited time period, they offer filters. And you can advertise within a certain geofencing area that you can hit for a certain demographic market or a certain event or a certain location in which you can have your filter, you know, advertisement there available for people that are on that app to see and use. And what we're seeing is that other ways that you can use geofencing to have your advertising go on social media and other ad sources for certain particular areas, for a certain amount of time. So it's very targeted, very pinpoint, very exact with your details.
So those
kind
people
of like
within
how the Facebook ads work.
Yeah, so sound of, sort of like those people within the sound of my voice can take advantage of this certain special that's going on. I got you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So what we would normally do with TV and radio, more on a broadcasting, which was much larger, much more narrower on a smaller scale, you can really go and say for your Facebook ads, saying that I want people, you know, for my company, which is the All-Star Cheer Consultants, we would say we want people that are from a certain age group, a certain section of the company, the country, that are associated or have like pages or have a ties with cheerleading or All-Star Cheerleading or competitive sports. And that ad would literally be seen to that demographic market.
Oh, wow.
So now when we decided to, or you decided to do this around the boat, you were very careful not to to go across the street, because we're right across the street from Fort Lauderdale Beach. So had you gone over there, the price would have gone up, right?
Right. So actually you're close to a hotel and the beach. The beach is cheaper than the hotel. So Snapchat and other marketing services know that when there's a, like an area like a hotel, which would have multiple people there, multiple events, large scale events, they automatically raise the rates for advertising for those areas. So literally I cut the geofencing around the marina area, not to touch the beach area because that would increase the price, and not to definitely touch the hotel area, which would really inflate the price.
So you're paying a fee to, was it Instagram you said?
It was Snapchat.
Snapchat. You're paying a fee to Snapchat then to create this geofence. Am I right? Okay,
yes.
I see. And what would that cost, for instance?
It varies in cost. The filter, like for our company, we do the filters for $50. You can have a variety of different means to have a filter created. We kind of customize and really work with our customers to have something that really represents them and really personalize it. But the actual cost for the geofencing depends on the area.
Gotcha.
The it's a minimum of 20,000 square feet is the minimum Snapchat will allow you to purchase. but it also depends on the amount of time. And we see that rates vary across the nation.
Okay,
so you can go into Fort Lauderdale, for example, is a pricier area in comparison to, say, Arkansas or Nebraska.
Right, I got you. Okay,
and also, Melissa, you also have to be careful of what time of day and what other events are going on. So, like tomorrow morning, the Fort Lauderdale Half Marathon is happening. That will be a lot more expensive right here because they start and end right here.
Oh.
Than it will be if it were the following day or this morning, right?
Exactly. Wow. So that will be, they also, if aware of activities that are going on, like an event like that, the prices would go up much higher around the start line and ending point, which I will be there tomorrow, running tomorrow morning.
Oh, good.
Fort Lauderdale Half Marathon. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Cal, you had a question?
I wanted to give you a chance to say that as well. So we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Cal? I'm just totally amazed. Now, here's a young woman who I believe your main line is dealing with cheer. So you're stacking people up in pyramids. You're tossing people up in the air and hoping that you catch them successfully coming back down. How the heck do you go from that to social media as intense as you are, rather than you go out and find an IT company to take care of that for you?
Well, my background, in fact, the All Star Cheer Consultants was started by Nestor De La Pena and myself. Nestor De La Pena is originally from Miami. He actually started his first All Star Gym, which is actually a business that trains athletes to compete and perform. And he started this when he was 18 years old, and he was one of the first gyms in the industry back in 1994. So he's grown with the industry, understanding the growth process of the whole of the industry. In fact, he won, his teams won the first back-to-back world championships in the late 90s.
Okay.
So he's grown with the industry. My background comes from collegiate sports marketing. I was a college cheerleading coach. I've worked 20 years in college athletics, so I understand a lot about the marketing aspects. So we put together, obviously, our love for our sport, but we have combined our backgrounds, his knowledge of how to run the management side of an all-star gym to make it profitable, and my marketing background. So I also previously owned a radio station, an online cheerleading radio station called CheerXM1. And it was the first online cheerleading radio station where we played 24 hours a day cheerleading music. So I have a little bit of an entrepreneur spirit myself.
Yeah.
But coming from the cheerleading, owning a cheerleading radio station, and then Nestor and I creating we're really the first and only consulting company for all-star cheerleading.
Right, it's fascinating.
So I do have to break in for just a second
and
also fill out the rest of Melissa's resume. She's in the National Cheerleading Hall of Fame, a finalist for the National Coach of the Year, an inductee in the College Cheerleading Coaching Hall of Fame. It just goes on and on and on. This is a woman that's very accomplished in cheering, but now in marketing and especially in social media.
Oh, that is
well, and I see with coaching, like when I was a college coach and working with my athletes, I mean, one thing that I do have to say I learned from working in college athletics and working with a college campus is that you have to be organized, you have to be together, you have to have your brand message, you have to be able to communicate that message clearly and concisely, and you have to be able to make sure you get that message out to your customers on a regular basis.
Well, listen,
and I learned a lot about 20 years of recruiting athletes.
Yeah.
You learn a lot.
Tell me something about branding. Let's shift our focus for just a minute.
Okay.
Are there any keys to clearly branding yourself?
Yes. I think for myself, in working with the all-star cheer industry, which is no different than any small business, is that you have to find something that makes you uniquely yours, your core values, your anchor tenets, something that you can hold on to that allows you to differentiate yourself from others in your industry. You have to really make sure that your focus is on you and not beating the other guy, because wherever you put your energy and your attention, that's where it's going to go. So if you're focused on making your business the best business that it can be, and you have strong a strong value. I don't want to say values as in a moral values, but strong values on what you want to communicate to your customers and the experience that you wish to relate to them, whether it be walking into a store and buying a candle or coming in and learning to do a back handspring. It doesn't really matter that you, what you're selling, the product that you're selling, it's the experience and the feeling that the customers leave with. That yeah. makes them come back.
When you talk about those core values, that's kind of fascinating. What would be, for instance, use your business as an example, for instance?
Okay. For example, we pride ourselves in the idea of individualizing and customizing every product that we have. Our tagline is creating solutions for your success. And when we first meet with a client, we ask them to define success. Because every person has a different definition of success. So we don't want to go in with our already mindset of what our definition of success is, that we want you to define what success means to you. And it could be making money, and that's fine. Then we're going to focus on you just making money.
Yep.
Or if it's on creating a better atmosphere so my customers have a higher retention rate.
Okay, Ed, you had a question? Oh, okay. We're going to take a break in just a moment. When we come back on the other side of this break, I want to ask you a few more questions about especially how do you sort through the kind of forest of different options for communication. You've got Twitter, you've got Instagram, mm-hmm. you've got Facebook, you know. How do you sort all of that out? And that is what we're going to be talking about in just a moment when we come back here with the Internet Advisor. Our guest is Melissa Hay. She's with All Star Cheer Consultants, but as you can hear, also somebody who has done a lot of work in the area of making your business better by making its brand clear. And we're going to talk more about that coming up in just a minute here on the Internet Advisor. Gary, I have to say this conversation is a diamond in the rough. It was not something that I expected would be as fascinating as it is. Pardon me for saying that, Melissa.
That's okay.
Gary had told me about meeting you and the birthday party on the boat, et cetera, and the fact that you, besides having your own business, which is All Star Cheer Consultants, where you're a partner with Nestor, that you're also an expert on not social media being used to build a brand, actually brand building and building awareness of your business and helping small and medium-sized businesses in particular with that. I know your business in particular is focused on cheerleading, but do you do also consulting, for instance, for brand work with people?
Yes, we've actually started to expand out a little bit to work not just with the actual cheer gyms, but also corporate partners, businesses that seem to fill into the cheer industry, whether it be we were working with a shoe designer and manufacturer in China. We've worked with other apparel groups that, that found us through working with cheerleading.
That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Okay. Before the break, the question that I asked was, how do I sort through as a business? And I've faced this with our program, the Internet Advisor. We do this podcast, but then there's also Twitter. We have a Twitter account, but I don't think I use that very effectively or that much, because it's just me. And, I am the PR department as well. But there's, then Instagram, which I find you people talking about as a great source for promoting yourself. Pinterest. How do you sort through all of that to find the most effective way of communicating who you are, what your business is?
Well, it goes back to understanding who and what your target audience is. Now, we do know that there's certain demographic groups that are associated more with certain forms of social media. Facebook, I hate to say it, but we're aging out. The individuals that reliably go onto Facebook are more adults.
Yep.
They are the Generation Xers and up. Millennials are on it, but not as often.
Right.
So
right.
If you know your target audience is a little bit of an older population, then you want to really focus on Facebook. again, Twitter goes back and forth. Twitter goes between, is the one that tends to go a little bit between the millennials and into various age grouping. But you, again, you are limited with your messaging on that. You have to make it quick, clear, and concise.
Although it's Instagram. Twitter just, okay. Do you see that? They just changed. It's
yes.
No longer 140.
40 characters.
It's 200 and, help me, is it double that?
280. 280, I believe.
280, yeah. It's 280 characters now, roughly double the number of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven help us.
Which allows you to express a little bit more. But again, the typical Twitter audience is one that is looking for a quick message.
Yes.
They're not looking to read a book. So the Twitter audience is still looking for that 140 character message. They haven't been trained much more. I do believe that is for, you know, the longer political messaging that was taking place with the campaign that allowed them to expand. But your typical Twitter follower only wants a quick message. They don't want a long story.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's Twitter and Facebook. How about, and I'm fascinated by these because I know my grandchildren are into using Instagram. How do you use that? What audience is that for?
Instagram is starting, obviously, more the millennial generation, but also starting to move upward because of the fact that it's a visual imaging. Instagram is based on visual images, your pictures. Your pictures telling a story. So you do want to target that towards your millennial audience, but also your older audience, because we're starting to see that more, you know, Generation Xers and up are starting to use Instagram, but it is a very different messaging source. Most people, again, are not going to read too much below the pictures. You want the picture to tell the story. So that gives the, you know, if you're looking at an advertising campaign, a marketing campaign, you want to make sure that those visual images are impactful and that you can get your marketing message across with those photos.
Okay, so visual is very important.
Well,
Gary?
Melissa, you'll be very proud of me. I have uploaded to Instagram almost every day since you told me I needed to.
So mm-hmm. I've noticed that you've had some really, really interesting stories, too, like with the pictures that you've had from some of your guests, their experiences.
Oh, yes. Yes, I would imagine that would be very important, to get the guest stories up there. I know with Airbnb, that would be something I would be looking for as a user. To hear, you know, people's stories about how that worked. And I imagine, Gary, for you, that'd be the same thing.
Yes, of course. And you know, the whole idea that Melissa has been helping me with, I think, is looking at my brand and thinking about the shared adventure brand. And what does that mean? And what's the brand promise? Melissa, what is a brand promise?
Well, we are talking about the brand promise. It's kind of more or less the, you know, what is it that you want your customers to walk away with? What is it that you want them to essentially, you know, feel or like experience while they're with you? Like we were talking about with your brand promise, what do you want the people to say whenever they walk away? Like, wow, this was a great experience. I have to tell everybody I want to come back. So you want to make sure that you clearly communicate that brand promise. Now, it's something that you can revise and change. It's somewhere where you know, something that you want now to experience. But as you grow and interact more with your clients, it's okay to change it. It's okay to expand it. It's okay to adapt it to your audience.
Kel?
What about when you're doing brand promises? I mean, like, let's talk about that a little bit deeper if we could. For example, let's take Shared Adventure where Gary is doing his thing at, you know, you did a birthday party there. Someone else would do a wedding thing there. Someone might do a christening for a child there, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of mixed brands, mixed messages going on there, at least in my opinion, of what exactly Shared Adventure is all about. Does that also, you know, require, you know, Gary to try and reinforce exactly what it is he's trying to deliver? Is it a nautical theme?
Let's think about this. Let's think about this for a second. You have a birthday party, you have a wedding, you have a christening. These are all personal events of your life.
Ah.
So if you go down and you just go down to the common denominator, and let's find that. You're taking a moment of someone's life and making it very special and very unique.
Aha. I like that.
So that's you have to go for and target at.
There you go, Gary.
Well, I will have to tell you that the most unique celebration was a baby gender reveal party.
That's right.
That we had.
Wow.
And you know the cake popped open and a blue balloon flew out. So we know it's a boy, right? So I did not know what that was until somebody called and said, "Can we do that on your boat?" And I'm going, "Is it legal? If it's legal, sure."
I think maybe.
And those are actually becoming very large, so you may have a brand new product to promote there, a brand new service, gender reveal.
The other more unique thing that we did have was a rep video was shot on the boat. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly my music. My son likes it, but it was very cool. And if you see the video on YouTube and elsewhere, I have a cameo in it. You have to really look carefully.
Yes, I know. I saw
my head. You can just barely see my head in the background as I'm driving the boat.
Well, there's also a part where you're lounging there on the seat.
Yeah, that's a different video, yes.
Oh, that's one a different video. I got you. Okay.
No, this is actually a music video. It's a rap video.
So Melissa, does Gary need to change his image directly himself? Maybe a unitard with his shared adventure logo on it?
Well, no, I think that, the idea, I love the name shared adventure because he's already making a promise that, you know, you're going to have an adventure. It's going to be uniquely yours and you're going to share it with others. So I like the name. I like the concept. I think that, just getting it out there and having people, the testimonials from people telling their stories will build so much more of his clientele base.
Can I just ask a quick question about Instagram? Do you take the best picture you can and then put a description on it? How does that work? I've not used Instagram, so I don't know.
Well, we can ask Gary, our internet advisor.
Gary?
I was asking Melissa, but okay.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I thought you were asking Gary. No, with Instagram, you do put a little bit of a story with it. There's no limit on the amount of words that you can use with Instagram. So you can go into an in-depth story. But the idea of social media is not so much you telling a long story. It's about inspiring other people to comment and interact and have that conversation. So that's more or less, you don't want this to be a one-sided, I'm telling my story and someone just gave you a thumbs up or a like on it, which are great because you're getting that social interaction, but you want to have more of a conversation with your clients and those who are following you. So you want to make sure that you leave it open, that you can allow them to comment on this and ask questions or give them a call of action. The great thing is a call of action to make sure people know to book now, to contact us. Yeah.
Call to action. Just a final question because we've got about a minute left here. How do you deal with trolls?
Ooh.
Those people who have negative comments. Just nasty people.
Well, any good social media person will tell you that you need to respond to all comments, good or bad. And it's really how you can spin it and talk about, like, I'm really sorry that you've had this experience. However, that's where you can get into your customer service policy and showing that you have very good customer service.
You never, ever attack them directly back?
No.
You always come off just like
you
do in any other customer service situation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And another thing that you might want to come back, or I can come back on and talk about, is the rise in social media influencers and the use of social media influencers on Instagram and various social media, that is actually becoming a job description, an actual career.
Social media influencers. Okay, well then, you know what? You just guaranteed another segment here on the show.
Okay.
We'll come back in just a minute to talk. I'm fascinated with that whole concept of social media influencers. We're going to talk about that with Melissa Hay as we return, talking about getting your message out to your customers or just letting people know about what's going on with the group that's very important to you. All that coming up as we wrap things up here on the second hour of The Internet Advisor. Well, Gary Baker, I can see why the birthday party turned into a much, much more interesting conversation for you. Melissa Hay has been our guest here. She is with All-Star Cheer Consultants, but she's also a consultant to any kind of business, especially small and medium-sized businesses, about ways of clarifying your brand, what you're all about, and getting people interested and becoming involved in that. Developing a brand message and staying on point with that. So, Melissa, thank you so much for having joined us. Now, you people can actually go to your website, which is the allstarcheerconsultants.com. And we've got a link to that on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. And you've got some special tools there to help them.
Yes, we've designed some tools to really walk people through the social media experience. One thing that we've learned that not everyone understands, like you said, the difference between Facebook and Instagram and how to address your target audience and how to best use Snapchat for the millennials. So we put together some packets and some kits that can really, we can walk you through and help people navigate through this scary road of social media and set up schedules on how to schedule their social media through various apps and different technologies.
All right.
I think what makes it really come home for me was, as we were talking, Melissa was telling me about a BLT, and I'm going, well, you know, it is kind of time for lunch. And then she said, no, that's the brand leadership team. So she has this whole concept around how do you really kind of work together in your business to put together and probably with her and her partners with your company to put together a brand leadership team. Tell us a little bit about that and some of the, because there's this the really common sense tools, but I hadn't thought of them before this way.
Well, and with the brand leadership team is that you want to pull together the individuals that have a diverse interest into your business, or that they are people that you are going to listen to for leadership advice. So this could be someone that's your business partner, or if you are doing this by yourself, individuals that you surround yourself with that will allow you to make these branding decisions. And then from there, what you want to do is set the brand direction. Where are we going to go? What's the timeline that we're going to introduce this? And also delegate. I cannot emphasize that enough, especially for small businesses. You can't do it all. You have to learn it early on. And you have to have that leadership team together and trust and give that delegation out and allow them to do their part.
You're going to be part of our brand leadership team here, Ed. You and Cal and Gary. This is our brand leadership team. We need to pull together because I'm fresh out of ideas.
I'm ordering my unitard tomorrow.
But that's something that's really great that that we were able to put together, and we really emphasize that with our consultants. We do have an office in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We have one in Los Angeles, and we have consultants throughout the country that we that we can have there that can really kind of tap into the feel and the vibe of that particular area.
You know, we're coming up on our 20th anniversary this coming February, Gary, and this may be a good time for us just to take a look at what we've been doing and how we've been doing it, because, boy, it certainly has changed from back in 1998, where it was part of a morning show that I was doing, and I called Gary up because he was running my ISP, and I said, help, I've got a problem. And turned out to be squirrels chewing through my phone lines. But we've come a long way from that experience to now doing podcasts and having affiliates. And, I mean, it's quite a different world, Gar.
You know, I think our brand leadership team, our BLT, we need extra bacon.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a good idea. Maybe we should have like a 20-year seminar down on a yacht somewhere in Fort Lauderdale and have Melissa come in and
welcome.
Tell us what's going on.
I love it.
You're welcome. Hey, then I won't be the only one remote.
There we go. Gary, I'm all for it. So seriously, anywhere that people are listening to me right now, they could tap into your resources, right, Melissa?
Yes, they can. If they go to the allstartcheerconsultants.com, they can contact us via the website, and we could then sit down and really ask them what their definition of success is and let them tell us their story, and we can help them get to from point A to point B.
I love it. Hey, one thing I want to get to, we mentioned this before we got to the break, and then we'll wrap on this with you. Melissa Hay has been our guest here. She's with All-Star Cheer Consultants. You mentioned something about social media influencers, and it sounds like this is... this is a thing.
This is a new budding area with social media, is having individuals that have large followers, large groups of followers that can basically influence the decision-making of individuals. So in the cheerleading industry, obviously our social media influencers would be the athletes and who individuals that would follow them on social media.
Okay.
And if you're really trying to expand your business into the millennial grouping and into their segment of friends, you need to have those individuals either in your photos that you're posting on Instagram or using the Snapchat filters and having those individuals use and have others watch their stories and look at their stories and see from there. But you're allowing other people to take your brand and kind of promote it for you.
I love it. They become your salespeople. Was it satisfied customers or your best salespeople?
Exactly.
That's absolutely fascinating. Well, thank you, Melissa, for sharing all of this. I, again, can see why Gary spent so much time chatting with you about brand awareness and helping him and helping us as well to get a handle on what we're all about and telling people in a much more effective way about that. Melissa, thank you so much for being with us and have a great week.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
All right. That's Melissa Hay, and it's All-Star Cheer Consultants. That's theallstarcheerconsultants.com, and you can find a link to them at our homepage, internetadvisor.net.